Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
We are getting so many questions this time of year, which is really encouraging. Everybody's really into fantasy football, hoping for a more normal football season in 2021. So we're going to read a lot of them today via email at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com and also plenty of your Apple Podcast questions. It's a holiday weekend, baby! It's Wednesday right now, but it already feels like the weekend. You're hearing this on Thursday. Thanks so much for tuning in and hope you all have a great Memorial Day weekend ahead of you. I'm Adam Azer with Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg. Jamie, what's up, man? Ready for some emails? I've spoken to you since, but how was your big hosting gig on Monday? Sorry I didn't get to listen.
It was good. It was good. Dave and Heath did the majority of the work as usual, so yeah. They made it much easier for me. But I'm trying to find, why can't I find it? The best email we've ever gotten.
I already wrote back to him. We have an email from a not just a Hawks fan, but a Hawks employee. I wished him good luck for Wednesday night. I didn't mean it. It was a very insincere wishing of good luck. I wish bad luck for the Hawks on Wednesday night. Of course, you'll know how my Wednesday night was by the time you listen to this show. But yeah, he's a big fan and is going against me right now. And like Jamie's stupid intro on Monday, which is when I heard about the intro, I decided I'm just not going to listen to the show. So he lost a listener. We have news on Deshaun Watson, Julio Jones update, Tua Tagovailoa, and Jeff Wilson. Jeff Wilson going to miss the start of the regular season, according to NFL Network, with a torn meniscus. What does that mean for the 49ers running backs? Is it time to play Gallman? We'll tell you. But first, we have an email of the day from Daniel from Seattle, and Daniel was pissed off about something, and I like it. I just want to say something, and if it makes the show great, but also just want to say it. Whoever made 4-point per passing touchdown a thing is stupid. Why in the world do leagues do this? If the argument is that they make the quarterback more valuable, well, guess what? In real life, they are more valuable. What's the issue? All quarterbacks are more valuable, so 6-point touchdown leagues elevate quarterbacks. So what? A touchdown is worth 6. In fantasy football, it should always be worth 6. Thoughts?
Yeah, no arguments out of me. That's CBS standard scoring. And I get it. I get why people like using 4 points for passing touchdowns. It makes the passing touchdowns less valuable and makes those players a little bit closer to like the best quarterbacks or a little bit closer to the best running backs and so on and so forth. But I agree with this. I think 6 points is fair for every touchdown. Let it count.
I agree also. It's just, you know, people don't want quarterbacks to be so top heavy with their scoring compared to every other position. So,
yeah, but just, if they're all scored the same way, what's the big deal?
Well, I mean, it makes the rushing quarterbacks a little bit better. So, you know, it's going to change how those guys perform and what they do. And so, you know, I get it. But, yeah, I think Dave said it best. 6 points for passing touchdowns should be what it is. Everybody's scoring, for the most part, ends up relatively the same.
Yeah. I've said this before, but if you're in a 4 point per passing touchdown league and it's PPR, I think that devalues quarterback a little bit too much. But, you know, because they don't get points for catches and then only 4 for passing touchdowns. But I actually think that we should encourage more 6 point per passing touchdown leagues now to sort of balance out the prowess of the mobile quarterbacks. We are in an era of mobile quarterbacks right now. It's not going to change anytime soon. So the Matt Ryans, Matthew Staffords of the world, they need a little bit of support. They need a little help from their friends, and we need to give them two extra points. 6 total.
I like 4 points for passing touchdowns better in 2QB and super flex leagues where you're starting to.
All right. I could dig that. Dave?
I don't like it better than 6, but I like it better than 1 quarterback league.
Let me just, okay, let me go ahead, Dave. Do you want to say something?
I did not.
Okay. So I'm just looking at some scoring here on fftoday.com. QB12 was Matt Ryan in 4 point per passing touchdown leagues. QB12 was Matt Ryan. He scored 282 points. Let's see how many wide receivers in PPR scored 282 points. Four. So Matt Ryan scored more points than all, but that was in 4 point per passing touchdown leagues.
That's it. Let's make quarterback passing touchdowns worth a half point.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't really matter.
End this madness.
All right. Thank you for the email, Daniel. Appreciate that you're fired up about something. Next week, we're going to be fired up to give you some early bold predictions. We'll give your ears a break on Monday for Memorial Day, but we will have episodes Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Our analysts will each plant their flags with their 2021 bold predictions. That should be a lot of fun. News and notes. Deshaun Watson, he's not going to be deposed until after the Super Bowl. So, Dave, does that give you, I don't even want to use the word hope, but more expectation that Deshaun Watson is going to play in 2021?
I guess it helps that cause, but the NFL can still do something. They can put him on the commissioner's list, and then he won't be able to play. There's a whole lot left going on here before we can make a determination on whether or not Deshaun Watson will be a part of our silly little fantasy world.
Okay. So this is not earth-shattering news right now? I think it's kind of a big deal, isn't it?
I mean, you know, going back to the rookie-only draft that we were talking about on Monday's show, and for people that are doing their dynasty drafts in any capacity, or best ball for that matter, you know, it's going to change the value of obviously a few players, Watson included. So if he does play, clearly he's getting drafted later than he would if it was guaranteed to play. And as Heath brought up when we were talking about the ADP value of Brandon Cooks, for example, he said he would have him in his top 15 if we knew Watson was playing. I wouldn't have Cooks that high, but he'd be, you know, close to a top 24 receiver for sure. And, you know, David Johnson, the backfield, the, you know, Nico Collins, for example, you know, his value would change, you know, if you're looking at somebody as in a rookie only draft. So it's something you got to keep an eye on, but there are clearly bigger issues than the fantasy value of the Houston Texans when it comes to this situation.
Julio Jones, according to Chris Sims, is interested in Tennessee and New England. We have heard those teams as rumored destinations. Brian Flores said that Tua Tagovailoa
is on the air, by the way,
is a lot more comfortable with the offense this season. And apparently the playbook's changing, and I don't know. Dave, do you care about any of this with Tua?
Prove it to me, Tua. Show me in training camp. Let the positive reports out of Davie, Florida flow. That's really what I want to see. He's made the cut as a draftable fantasy quarterback in a one quarterback league. It's going to be with one of your last three picks as someone you draft, stash, and hope that he can turn it on.
All right.
I don't like that Will Fuller's not at the voluntary workouts, though. That's a little disappointing.
He's got to be there for training camp. That matters a little more.
Yeah. Jalen Reagor will play in the slot, he says, in 2021.
Every wide receiver will play in the slot in 2021. He's going to be their outside guy, but he's going to line up in the slot. They'll move him around more, so that's encouraging. But, I mean, you know, you look at what the target pecking order is going to be. It's Smith and Goddard. However, you know, it shakes out. Those will be the top two guys. And then at best, Reagor is going to be third, but he's still going to compete with the running backs. He's going to compete with Greg Ward and Travis Fulgham and whatever other wide receivers that they have there. But look, Rager's one of the best late-round targets you can have because he's still a first-round talent. He's going to be in a better situation this year than he was last year. He's not going to be hurt. He's going to have a full offseason. He's going to have a coaching staff that's committed to him. So barring a Julio Jones trade to Philadelphia, Jalen Reagor with one of your double-digit round picks is fantastic. And you can even start to consider him round eight or later, depending on how receivers go off the board in your league.
So let's talk about the 49ers, all right? Buried the lead a little bit, but this is the biggest news right now. Jeff Wilson, torn meniscus. Dave, are you upset?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I am. I like this guy. I think he's a good physical running back. The signing of Gallman, which came out of left field, maybe like feels like 2 months ago, maybe it happened. Like now it makes perfect sense why it happened.
That surprises you. It's the drafting. The two running backs is more surprising.
It's surprising that they drafted two running backs. But obviously they're stockpiling backs because they figure they're going to, well, now we know why, because they're not going to be with Jeff Wilson for a while, maybe even the whole year. It doesn't really change anything for me as far as Mostert and Sermon go. Does it put Gallman on the radar as a late round pick? Yeah, maybe, especially in deeper leagues. If you want to just have a running back who might play at some point, might have a 3-week window where he's the best running back in San Francisco. You just have to wait for it to happen. You could draft him late if you want to.
I'm more excited about Elijah Mitchell than I am about Wayne Gallman. I think Gallman is, I don't think what Dave said is incorrect. I think there will be a stretch where Gallman is probably going to be their quote unquote starter. But, you know, I'm always looking for upside, and I don't think Gallman has a ton of upside by comparison to somebody with a little younger, fresher legs that has a chance, I think, to, you know, maybe impress them. So I would rather take a late round flyer on Elijah Mitchell. I think this does help Mostert and Sermon because now one of the guys they were counting on is out of the way. So Mostert is going to be very undervalued because people are going to overlook him because of the addition of Sermon. Sermon is probably going to be a little overvalued because of he's the guy that you just saw dominate in college and
right, he's
has
the new
chance
guy
to be successful. But there's going to be a lot of bodies here. And so that's the thing you just got to keep an eye on. Like, don't reach for Sermon too soon. Don't overlook Mostert because Mostert's still going to be the starter to open the season. And look, last year and certainly the year before, when he's been the guy and been on the field, he's been very successful.
Mostert is a really good zero RB target. And I've got the 49ers with the 10th best run schedule for the first 4 weeks of the season. So I think he's a good running back to settle for if you decide to go in a different direction with your positional drafting. When you get to, what do you think, round six, round seven, somewhere in that range, Mostert will be there. You can swipe him up then.
Let's take a look at where he went in the draft that we just did. This was before we knew about the knee injury. He went in round seven, second pick of round seven. This was a 12-team PPR league. And he went just ahead of James Conner, one pick ahead of James Conner. So I don't know that he'll make it there. I mean, he might get pushed up around now, Raheem Mostert. And also, like, we don't know how long, I don't know if you guys said this, but we don't know how long Wilson's going to be out. It could be out a week. I mean, torn meniscus is not a super serious injury.
Well, he's having surgery, though, on it, so that's the concern.
Okay.
Yeah, he's going to start the year on the PUP list. That would make the most sense, and they might not take him off of it. You can't draft him, that's for sure.
We're not talking about a superstar here. We're talking about a guy that has a chance to be a significant contributor for their team if he's healthy. But clearly, they told you what they think of their guys, including Mostert.
I don't agree with they take, but they, I don't know. I mean, these guys are not super investments here. They just, Mostert can't
stay
healthy.
They did not need Sermon, and they spent a third round pick on him. And again, you have to put in relative terms where running backs are going in the draft.
But that's the only one that they made any serious investment in.
Right, but they're bringing in guys. That's the problem, is they're bringing in guys. Now, maybe they knew that Wilson had this injury and they were waiting to find out surgery implications. We don't know. You know, they didn't have to report it at all. There's no injury report to have to, you know, adhere to. So they could have known that he was hurt when they signed Gallman. They could have known that he was hurt when they went into the NFL draft. Mostert is probably gone at the end of the season. So, you know, they're looking long term as well. But I think they told you what they think of the guys there by spending two draft picks on a position that's something for them that they not typically need to do.
Well, I mean, this is a team, but this
they're
is a team.
They're doing what
that,
I did in our dynasty draft.
This is
but
a team.
But you look
that,
at the history of Mike Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan as well. They take guys off scrap heaps.
Okay, but they also, you know, Kyle Shanahan is always talking about having three or four running backs. So it's not surprising that they want a lot of running backs on their team. Can any of them really challenge Raheem Mostert? I mean, Mostert is a really great running back, I think. Maybe he's great in this system.
Of course they could challenge Raheem Mostert. Jeff Wilson was going to challenge Raheem Mostert.
Yeah, but Mostert's better. I mean, Mostert, I don't
Agreed.
Know why he doesn't get the due that he deserves.
I just finished saying that. I'm still agreeing with you.
You said that, but so I don't think a 6th-round pick Elijah Mitchell is a challenge for him. I don't think Wayne Gallman is a challenge
for him. No. They're not challenges to Mostert being the lead guy. They're challenges to Mostert being the full-time guy for what we think of.
There is no full-time guy.
No,
there might
know
be
that.
A primary guy, but they're going to use multiple guys every week. That's also what the Shanahans tend to do, unless they just fall into Terrell Davis. You know what I mean? Where they Arian Foster, a guy that they just
Alfred
they found off the scrap.
You
there
go
you go.
The
right. So maybe Sermon is that guy. Maybe Mitchell's that guy. Remember, Mostert was that guy once upon a time. He was cut off of 27 different practice squads before he got the chance with the Niners.
He was. Okay, that's it for the news and notes. We got plenty of your Apple Podcast questions and your emails. Let's get started right now with Apple Podcasts from Hagens39. Hey, Pete, Kevin, Ruxin, Andre, and Taco. That would be the league. The league. I play in a 10-team keeper league. I need help deciding between five players. Let's see, how many does he need? He needs a third.
You say need or league?
He leagues. I'm going to just say league all the time. All right, so it's 10 teams, and he's keeping Derrick Henry and Christian McCaffrey league. So he needs help deciding on his third keeper. Is it going to be Cam Akers, Jonathan Ligler, Taylor?
Oh, God.
Or George Kittle league? Like little league. So who would you keep? Akers, Taylor, and Kittle. He's already keeping Henry and McCaffrey.
Taylor.
Same.
Okay.
Would you consider keeping Akers and Taylor and McCaffrey, throwing back Henry with the idea that you can keep that core of running backs year after year after year?
No.
All right.
Yeah. Maybe more so in a deeper league. 10-team league, probably just go with the best
get
guy
the
on
studs.
Your board, right?
All right, just laying it out there.
Yeah.
Playing devil's advocate.
It's cool.
Either of the guys that you throw back is getting drafted in the first round, so it doesn't matter. You know, it's...
Yeah.
Right, so, but if you can keep Akers and Taylor forever and ever and ever, I don't know, that sounds pretty good to me. They're young, they're strong.
Is that what you would do, Dave? Is that what you would do? You would throw back Derrick Henry?
I was just playing devil's advocate.
Okay.
It's up there with Monopoly, my favorite games to play.
From Jake in Washington. Hey, Mickey, Lou, Whitey, and Roger.
Those are Yankees.
They are. Dynasty question. If I'm sure I'll land Kyle Pitts in the rookie draft, do I look to sell Travis Kelce or keep the known points? It's a 10-team PPR dynasty league.
You can take offers on Kelce. I wouldn't give him away just because you're going to get Pitts.
What spot does he have in the rookie draft?
He's going to get Pitts. That's all I know.
So it's probably top three picks. So it's a matter of, is he picking third and he knows that it's going to be Jason Harris first, or is he taking Pitts over Harris? Yeah, you should chop Kelce, but you got to get superstar in return.
Okay, from Rob S. Would love to hear you guys talk about the draft strategy for a 12-team, full PPR, two quarterback league. How does the added quarterback change your overall draft strategy? When are you looking to pick up your first quarterback? How many do you draft and when? I figure you need at least three quarterbacks. Well, this
you
is
do.
Convenient because we are in one of these leagues every year. 12 teams, full PPR, two quarterbacks, Dave.
And you've got to prioritize quarterback a lot more than you would in a one quarterback draft. I like to try and get at least one quarterback with one of my first two picks, two quarterbacks with my first four picks, and three quarterbacks with my first seven or eight picks.
I'd read the board. You know, if it's the first time you're doing it, if there's going to be an early run and people panic, let them panic. You know, if you can get one of the top six quarterbacks, that's great, especially if you're picking toward the back end of the first round. But keep in mind that they're going to get a lot of star players get pushed down, and you don't want to, you know, reach for a quarterback just because you think you have to get, you know, the seventh or eighth best quarterback on a lot of people's draft boards, which is going to be guys like Aaron Rodgers or, you know, Jalen Hurts or one of those guys, Russell Wilson. They're very good, clearly, but you know, they're not the elite of the elite based on what most people think coming into the season. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to be, but that's the expectation. So I wouldn't, let's say, pass up Alvin Kamara to take Aaron Rodgers. I'd rather have Kamara, you know, if you're picking at the back end of round one. But it's not a bad idea to try and get two top 15 quarterbacks if you can, and then try and get three top 20 guys. But read the board, see how it goes.
For what it's worth, Ben Gretsch won the league last year with Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson.
Yeah, and Heath once won the league with Matthew Stafford, and I think it might have been...
It was another bum.
Yeah, it was...
Not that Stafford's a bum, you know what I mean. Like a non...
It was a top 15 caliber quarterback.
Right.
I don't know if we address... Yeah, there are different ways to do it, basically. I think one thing that's a little risky, though, is... You sort of alluded to it, is being left out of a quarterback run, waiting a little bit too long, and that could really burn you.
Yeah, like imagine if you're picking late in round one, early in round two, and you decide to you get Saquon and Kamara with your first two picks, and then you just figure, all right, I'll get a quarterback when it comes back to me in late round three. you're giving the majority of the teams in your league two chances each to load up on quarterbacks. By the time it's back to you, you might not like what's left. So I disagree a little bit with reading the board. I just want to make sure I lock up at least one really good quarterback, just so I'm not stuck completely with, you know, Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold.
Last year, I had
Drew Lock. If you do that, though, you have to be creative. You have to be aggressive with some of the risks that you take on the guys that you're taking as your third quarterback, or in some cases, your second and your third quarterback. And so, I mean, you look at the top 10 guys from last year. Rodgers wasn't ranked as a top 12 guy. He was just outside that.
Oh, yeah. There's quarterbacks outside every year. Yeah.
So, you know, Justin Herbert finished as a top 10 guy. He wasn't ranked at all.
Right.
Joe Burrow wasn't ranked as a top 12 guy, or barely the case. You know, so there are guys that you can find. It's not that you're going to miss out on a run. You're going to miss out on a run of what the rank lists tell you or the projections tell you are the top tier guys. Again, you just have to be, you know, come back on the round 3-4 turn. You take two guys there. You have two studs to start your team.
Maybe. Yeah, last year I had Goff and Mayfield, and I was actually pretty happy with that. I thought they'd both be kind of borderline top 12-y, and they were not. So, you know, it's like any other league. Your strategy could just not work, and that happens. The problem
is... You mean
the
secret to fantasy football is drafting good players?
Well, I mean, there are surprises all the time is what I'm saying. The problem is there's no depth. There's no backups on the waiver wire. You also don't want to... I don't know how many situations there will be like this, but you don't want to put too much stock in a quarterback that could lose his job. You know,
well, that's why you take the two guys. Like, you, if you're going to draft, you don't necessarily say I have to only draft three. Like, if you're taking your third quarterback, it could be Garoppolo and Lance. It could be Fields and Dalton.
Sure.
You know, I mean, you cover
yourself.
How about
Hill and Winston?
Hill and Winston.
Yeah, that's great. You know? See, that's worth doing. All right. Next up, we've got a question. No name here.
Bob.
Hey, who?
It's Bob.
Bob. Okay.
I recognize the handwriting.
Yeah.
Spell it backwards.
Hey, Jave, Damey, Beeth, and Haddam. Keeper league, half PPR, 12 teams. Keep two for 2 years.
That's funny that your name is that, because it's from a line from your favorite movies.
Haddam?
Haddam at Hello.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Keeper league. Okay, so keep two for 2 years. Jonathan Taylor in the third. Swift in the fifth, Diggs in the sixth, Robinson in the 16th, and I picked 12th. We'll get to this second question in a bit. But keep
I
two.
Assume it's James, but it's not Allen, right?
Oh, Robinson. Actually, it probably is James. I was thinking Allen, and that was a definite, but you're right, it's probably James. So that means we have Taylor in the third, Swift in the fifth, Diggs in the sixth, James Robinson in the 16th. Pick two.
Is it kind of amazing how many people have Taylor Swift on their rosters?
It does seem to happen. I keep getting that.
I would probably keep Swift and Diggs.
I will keep Taylor and Swift.
Taylor and Swift, Taylor and Diggs. Okay.
That combo will be trouble for the rest of your fantasy league.
And I picked 12th. Would it be dumb to take Najee Harris at the 2-3 turn? Is that what he's saying?
No, he's saying to take him at 13th overall.
Yeah, that's actually 2.1, not 2.13.
Right.
No, it wouldn't be dumb.
No, I've warmed up to him. His schedule, like on top of all the other good stuff going on about Najee Harris, as far as like pedigree, talent, workload, his schedule's great.
He's
really
probably not
good
there if there's 36 players off the board in your league.
Yeah, right. So like all the more reason to take him then, plus there's keeper potential for him in case Taylor or Swift don't meet your expectations. But I'm now on board with Najee Harris being worthy of a late first round pick in a regular fantasy league. So certainly 13th overall in this type of league, if he's there, take him.
We're never ever getting back together. From Mike James 6, I just had to get in on it. Mike James 602 says, "Hey Michael, Scotty, Dennis, and Tony,
the best, the Bulls.
I need help with a 12 team league, one quarterback, two flex. Need to keep four total." First three rounds, I can keep three for the next 3 years. Well, okay, wait, what?
You weren't laughing when the Bulls were breaking the Knicks' hearts in the 90s.
I think I saw today that 20 years ago was the Scottie Pippen dunk on Ewing.
That was amazing.
No, couldn't be.
Oh, maybe it's 30 years
ago. It could be 20 years. It had to be 30 years, yeah. That sounds close to right.
I was barely even existing at that point. I need help with a 12-team league, one quarterback, two flex. I need to keep four total. The first three rounds, I can keep three for the next 3 years. Okay, that's just a lot of numbers.
A lot of threes.
Players are, like Tony Kukoc, players are CEH, Miles Sanders, Tyreek Hill, or Keenan Allen. So pick three of those to keep for 3 years. Edwards-Helaire, Miles Sanders, Tyreek Hill, Keenan Allen.
Am I locked into keeping them for 3 years? Or
seems
can I
that
like
way.
Bump them after 1 year if they suck?
I think
you're probably allowed to keep them out for 3 years.
Okay, so up to 3 years. It's the first three. It's the
two
Chiefs
for sure.
And Sanders.
The last one is a tough one.
How much longer is Keenan Allen going for?
So you're both going Sanders?
I said Sanders.
Yeah, it's close because, I mean, look, Sanders is obviously, this is a prove it year because he was good as a rookie. He was bad as a sophomore, and they brought in a lot of bodies again, you know, so we'll see what happens. But you know what you're getting with Keenan Allen. As long as they don't bring in Julio Jones, he's going to get a lot of targets and a lot of catches.
Okay, and then after that, one of these players in the 10th round just for this year, Hockenson or Claypool?
Hockenson.
If it's just for this year, I guess it's Hockenson.
Okay. This is from Mad Dog 732. Half PPR league, one quarterbacks. He wrote that. 10 teams. I shouldn't have embarrassed you. Sorry, Mad Dog. One quarterback, 10 teams. I have 104, 203, and 307. Should I trade 104 for Kelsey? Or should I just draft Chase or Pitts?
Is your team ready to win now?
I don't think he's going to get Chaser Pitts at four. His team is Russell Wilson, Taylor, Akers, Dobbin, Mixon. Wow. Ridley, Boyd, Edwards. Nah, he needs wide receiver help. But it's pretty good other than that.
So 104, he's looking at, if you're assuming that those other three guys are gone, of Chase, Harris, and Pitts, which is typically what's going to happen, then it's between Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle.
Or ETN.
Well, you said
not
he needs
for
receiver
him.
Help.
Yeah, not for him. Yeah.
I don't hate it.
I would take Kelsey.
I would take Kelsey, but I would try and get a pick with Kelsey.
Because you said 203 and what? 307?
Uh-huh.
203 is Elijah Moore, Kadarius Toney, you know. Maybe Rondell Moore, you know, depending on how it goes. Terrace Marshall. Like, I'll take that combination of Kelsey and one of those guys as opposed to what the upside of Smith or Waddle could be and that guy. Like, Kelsey helps you win right now.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the Champions League. The Champions League final is set as Manchester City takes on Chelsea in the biggest soccer match of the year. And the Que Golazo podcast has you covered. Luis Miguel Echegaray welcomes soccer experts every single episode to give game predictions, betting tips, players to watch, post-match analysis, and much, much more. Find Que Golazo wherever you're listening to this show and on YouTube as well. The UCL final is here, and Que Golazo has you covered. Echegaray. I've been working on that pronunciation, and I botched it. Sorry about that. From Will in a town north of Atlanta.
How are you working on it? Like, give us your behind the scenes working on it.
Oh, I legitimately went to YouTube and made sure I found an interview with him, and I made
Say
it back.
I do it in a mirror, you know. So I just, this isn't really the right environment, Jamie. Sorry, can't do it on the spot. But then
is
I put
like music
phonetics
going on in the background.
Yeah, it's like heavy metal, like getting real pumped up. Pronounce it, damn it. All right, Will in a town north of Atlanta. Nobody likes Atlanta.
You did it wrong.
Atlanta sucks. Hey, Stringer, Bubbles, Omar, and Marlo. I think that's the most boring cop show ever, The Wire. How much should having two flex spots affect positional value between running back and wide receiver? 14-team dynasty league.
Wow, deep league with deep spots, deep rosters. It's only two running backs, two receivers, and two flexes.
Yeah, it doesn't say if it's PPR.
Because if it's non, obviously right. You want to try and get more running backs in those flex spots. If it's PPR, it changes.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Take advantage of that receiver depth.
Well, I mean, so we're in a 14-team dynasty half PPR league, and we have two flexes, mm-hmm. but we have three receivers. So like, I know for my team, I play five receivers because I have more star power at that spot.
Mm-hmm. Would it change your draft strategy if you were starting fresh? Two running backs, two receivers, two flexes?
Yeah.
It certainly would in non-PPR, but in half or full, what would you do differently?
I mean, like I said, I would lean more toward receivers.
Okay. You know, I guess I'm wondering if you don't really have to lean more toward receivers because it's just so deep that you might end up loaded at wide receiver anyway, even if you don't try that hard.
Well, I think you're looking more at probably the second flex as opposed to the first flex. Cause like, at least for me, like I'll probably try and get three running backs in my first five picks if I can.
Okay.
You know, whereas, I think, you know, that second flex spot, I'm not going to be so pegged into trying to find that position.
Okay. From Jeffrey, half PPR keeper league, 10 teams. I have the first pick. I'm going Christian McCaffrey. All right. That's the email. Thank you, Jeffrey. No, keeper options, AJ Brown in the fifth, Dobbins Ooh. In the sixth, and they're 19 picks apart. So, you know, he's got the swing picks. Okay, it's A.J. Brown 41st overall, Dobbins 60th, Waller 61st. That's a seventh round pick for him.
Those are his keepers?
Those are his
choices. He's got to keep one of them?
Mm-hmm.
Brown.
Yeah.
Oh, really? You take Brown 20 spots ahead of Waller?
Yep.
Okay.
Especially if you can keep him for multiple years.
Okay, also, what are some of the things over the summer I should pay attention to that could change?
I'd like to know the deadline because that could clearly be a Julio Jones destination. If Julio Jones is there, then I'm taking Waller.
Second part of the question. What are some things I should pay attention to that could change or affect my decision? Obviously, a Julio Jones trade. I think, I'm not sure if Stranger Things season 4 is coming out this summer. We should pay attention to that.
Mm. That's cool. It's a good call.
And still, you guys got to watch Mayor of Easttown. I thought the finale was last week, but I was wrong. It's this week. Which was a nice bonus.
Wait. You've been watching a show. You didn't know that it was over.
I thought there was one episode left, and I was told by Twitter that there were two.
But did you watch it already?
Yeah.
So you watched the show.
I knew going in. I thought on Sunday afternoon, I thought, oh, I'm getting ready for the finale. And Twitter was like, no, you idiot. There are two left.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sunday was a great day. Alf878. Stupid Knicks. Two players who intrigue and terrify me for 2021 are Barkley and Zeke. I expect both to be available in the late first round in most redraft home leagues. Who's the better choice and more likely to return to previous glory?
I'll go with Barkley.
Barkley and who?
Zeke.
Barkley. You got to go a little bit youth. You know, hopefully that helps.
Yeah. Young people are just better. Like, if you're listening to a podcast, listen to the younger person, Ben Schrager. From Brennan in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I have 104, 209, 210, and 304 in a 10-team PPR Dynasty League. I also have Kelsey. Sounds familiar. The possibilities for 104.
The guy making the trade.
We need to hook these two people up. The possibilities for 104 are... Chase, ETN, or Pitts? Should I take ETN, Pitts, or Chase, depending on who's there?
Who are the guys going in the top three?
I think he's expecting like two of them to be gone, but maybe one to be left. But yeah,
Someone heard you talk about Elijah Mitchell on the podcast now, and they're going to race to take him at the top of round one, Jay.
I would hope they take Trey Sermon first, but sure.
Maybe they're going to get both. If Chase is there, you've got to take him ahead of Pitts and ETN.
But you go Chase, Pitts, ETN, right?
That's my order, yes.
Jamie?
Yeah.
Chase, Pitts, ETN. Okay,
ETN's a distant third.
I would try to trade 104 for Wayne Gallman. That's what I would do. I think that will really...
I mean, at least play the music so it ties it in.
Don't do that, by the way. That was a joke. We are going to take a break. We got your emails when we come back, including one email we've been waiting for a long time, an IDP question, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We'll be reading them when we come back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last.
Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back. Getting ready for Memorial Day. Yeah. It's barbecue. Gonna rain all weekend up here in New York. That's kind of a bummer. Hope everybody has great weather, great holiday. And remember, we got bold predictions for you next week, Tuesday through Friday. So let's get started with Tim from Blackhawk, Colorado. He says, "Dear Jim, James, and Jimothy." Is that a thing?
Must be. Okay. I don't know what, but there it is.
As someone who gets asked, is my real name James? I've never heard Jimothy before.
Is your real name?
I believe it's from The Office.
Huh. I don't remember that. Jim, James, Jimothy. Jamie, you like to use Office memes without ever seeing the show. Is that from The Office?
For sure.
All right. The question from Tim, with Julio Jones's impending departure from the Falcons. Wow. Everybody's pretty convinced. I guess I know why. Yeah, I guess I guess they should be. There doesn't seem to be a lot of buzz about a bump for Russell Gage.
I hear Matthew Stafford's leaving the line.
do you see Russell Gage as a more appealing late round target over other second fiddle wide receivers like Josh Reynolds or Darnell Mooney? Does Gage deserve top 60 wide receiver consideration?
In a PPR league, like maybe right around 60.
He's in the mix with those guys. I'd rather have Mooney and Reynolds, unless of course Julio is going to the Titans. But you know, Gage showed flashes last year. He seemed to be better when everybody was there as opposed to when Julio was out. But now you're also factoring in new coach, new weapon in Kyle Pitts. You know, maybe an upgraded running game just because of Arthur Smith and maybe Mike Davis just being better than Todd Gurley. So there are things that are changing. You can't exactly peg it to the same year over year because there's so much difference. But I mean, Russell Gage now, as we talked on FFT and Five, Adam, he's somebody that you got to consider if you're doing any best ball drafts right now.
He's worth it in those leagues. He's going to be worth a late round pick in PPR. He's one of those reliable short area targets that Ryan will lean on and what this offense will be predicated on when they're not running the football or trying to just get it into Kyle Pitts' hands. I suspect they're going to use a lot of two tight end formations. Just thinking about how Tennessee operated, they didn't have a ton of receiver depth, and now the Falcons aren't either. You know Ridley's going to be on the field every single play. Gage, I think, will be the next guy up. I mean, maybe Olamide Zaccheaus has himself a nice training camp and works his way into a role too. Maybe someone else comes along in Atlanta to step up. Maybe Frank Darby, their sixth-round pick. But I think Gage is in line to see a decent amount of targets from week to week. Could be a reliable full PPR flex at some point in the year.
This would be an interesting, if Julio is moved, destination for Jamison Crowder if he's let go as expected. So that's something to keep an eye on too.
Yeah.
You know, I went back since 2012. Was that Julio's rookie year? It was Matt Ryan's first great season. It was when he really started becoming a fantasy star. This is a team that very, very often had one great receiver and not much else. But usually I would say expectations for the number two receiver when it wasn't Roddy White or Calvin Ridley was about 850 yards, something like that. And the touchdowns were always, he's kind of a guy who spread touchdowns around to a lot of different players. I mean, as you
know, he loves his tight ends. I mean, he's always, for the most part, had a good one.
Yeah. So in the last nine seasons, they've had a number two receiver reach 900 yards only twice. And that's not a wide receiver. It's
but look,
position.
I mean, look. The question wasn't Russell Gage superstar. The question was Russell Gage, Josh Reynolds, Darnell Mooney. That's the area he would belong.
Well, how would you rank them?
Like I said, he'd be third for me unless Julio's in Tennessee. Oh,
I didn't hear you say that. I'm sorry.
I'll go Mooney, Gage, Reynolds.
Okay. All right then. And let's see. Let's get back to the emails. That was a good question. Thank you. Thank you to Tim. This is from Bob. Dear Alex, Neil, and Getty, will you please have a show that focuses on IDP? So we will have an IDP show closer to draft season. It's not a super popular format, so I don't want to dedicate an entire episode to it. But is there anything you guys would like to say about IDP leagues?
And I've been looking at a lot of the rookies just based on our rookie draft because it's also an IDP league as well. So, like, I had a tough call as the third linebacker off the board, I guess it was.
Collins?
Between Zaven Collins and I'm never going to say his name right, but JOK from the Browns. So I went with Collins, and I know that's probably going to torment me for years because if JOK is better, he was the next linebacker off the board. But Davis from Washington and Micah Parsons, not in that order. Parsons was one, Davis was two. Those were the first two IDP players taken in our rookie only IDP draft, factoring in the other guys as well, the offensive players as well. So looking at those guys, Kwity Paye to me was the best, defensive lineman, at least my opinion. But there's a handful of guys there. And then, you know, the safeties are going to be interesting if you're looking at that route, looking at those guys. But there's a lot of good corners coming into the league, too.
I think that's just a rookie take on it. But I think, you know, the position that I think is the hardest to find a standout, I'm sure you guys would agree, is defensive line. Mm-hmm. So if you're in an IDP league and you can find an elite defensive lineman, I'm more likely to reach a defensive line, because especially a defensive back, I mean, you will get a safety or two that is really exciting, but for the most part, that's a pretty interchangeable position. Now, the only IDP league that I'm in is the one I'm in with you guys, which is we start like 9 defensive players. It's wild. So they're not really that important to me. There's so much scoring in that league that one player isn't going to make a huge difference. You got a full offensive lineup plus 9 IDPs. But defensive line, like Aaron Donald is a player that I seek out. I really want to get him. And defensive,
it's like the tight end of IDPs.
It's true. And
well, it's Donald, it's Garrett, it's Chase Young, it's the Bosas and TJ Watt. Like that's the upper echelon of guys you're looking for.
But if you're looking for a defensive lineman and you can't get your hands on an obvious stud, you're looking for one of those defensive linemen that actually plays linebacker. They're more of like edge players, so they have a chance to get you a few more tackles. And speaking of that, you should also know what your IDP rules are, because there's no uniform IDP scoring system like there kind of is for fantasy, for typical fantasy, I should say. Some of them don't even give you points for tackles. And in those leagues, that it really dramatically changes how you view everybody. It also makes it more of a crapshoot.
Right, and you're looking for middle linebackers too, guys that are going to rack up tackles if you are in those leagues.
If tackles do count, safeties too.
But those guys that are edge rushers, are they usually eligible at linebacker, or are they eligible at
defensive line? It depends on where you play and what they're listed at.
It's very, very important thing.
It is. On some places and with some players on CBS, you can start them as defensive linemen or linebacker.
So like Chandler Jones a few years ago was a big contentious one, because I think the Cardinals list him as a linebacker, and you're not going to love him at linebacker because he's not going to get those tackle totals that you look for. But the sacks are going to be amazing for him.
I feel like all the... So who was a guy last year? Because they all got hurt. Who was like a edge rusher? I'm trying to find just where they stacked.
An edge rusher? I mean, TJ Watt was the best.
Where is he? TJ Watt, okay.
He plays for the Steelers.
Yeah. So we had him. He's linebacker eligible in our league. And he scored 116 points in our scoring, which is going to be so different depending on your league. So where would he have ranked among defensive line? Oh my gosh. He clobbered every defensive lineman.
Right.
The highest scoring defensive linemen in our league were Garrett and Chase Young and Aaron Donald, and they were between 93 and 99 points. So Watt was like 18 points better than Garrett or whatever he was. I already forgot how many he scored. But at linebacker, where was Watt? Probably still pretty high. No, not really.
Right.
No, like he's not even a must roster. He's probably 20th or so among linebackers. So it just makes a huge difference. You get a player like him and you can play him at defensive line, he's might be the first IDP.
You want those guys as defensive lineman eligible.
Exactly. But if they're not, if TJ Watt is not defensive line eligible.
No, it's why like Von Miller, for example, is not the best IDP guy, because he's always been labeled as a linebacker. And what we typically do is we go by the team designation, which is through Elias. And that's why we get, you know, hey, why is this player not listed at this particular spot? Well, we don't know all that.
Okay.
But some teams list both positions for a player.
Yes.
So he's a lineman and a linebacker. Or they list him as an edge, in which case we give him both too.
Okay. So the bottom line is, if you have an edge rusher, you need him to be defensive line eligible, because even the best, even Watt, wasn't really a standout at linebacker, but he would have been easily the best defensive lineman last year based on last year's scoring. Okay. Going to Mike, a Bears fan in a central Colorado town.
Poor guy.
From poor guy, Colorado. Aurora. Oh, okay, sorry. Hey, John, Tim, Peyton, Drew/Teddy, and Aaron.
Broncos quarterbacks?
Yeah. Wishful thinking there. I'm in a 1 QB 12 team standard scoring dynasty league. I have DK Metcalf. Would it be worth trading him and 2.8 in the rookie draft for AJ Brown?
Yes. Again, barring Julio Jones.
I guess, yeah, I think so. I think Brown would go off the board ahead of Metcalf in a startup, and you're only giving up a 2.8 to make that move.
I did a comparison of the two of them. They're like the same player.
Except they look like Schwarzenegger and DeVito walking down the street.
AJ Brown might get 60 more targets this year.
Metcalf 15.7 yards per catch, Brown 15.4. Metcalf 64.3% catch rate, Brown 66%. Brown 16 game pace if you remove week 1 when he was playing hurt. 80 catches, 1,275. Well, he didn't play well, and then he missed the next
game. Did Metcalf play hurt that you know of?
We knew A.J. Brown was playing. Fine, it doesn't matter. Whatever.
How fast is A.J. Brown in the 100 meter?
I was giving Brown just, you know, his best. I was just giving him his best potential stats. 80 catches, 1,275 yards, 14 touchdowns on 121 targets. Metcalf was 3 more catches, about 30 more yards, 4 fewer touchdowns, 8 more targets. They're the same player.
What's your threshold of what the injury is that a player has to be dealing with to play in a game?
Sure.
You remove their stats.
Sure. Well, like usually less than 50% of the snaps, but for Brown, it was he came into the game banged up, and even you were like, I wonder if he was healthy because he didn't play very well. And then he sat 2 or 3 games.
Oh, I'm not discounting their play. I'm talking about you removing their stats from their game logs.
50% of the snaps is typically
50% of snaps. So if a player has diarrhea,
yeah.
Are they hurt even though they play 49% of the snaps? Or he's going to remove it because it's under 50.
That bad of diarrhea that they missed half the snaps?
You don't know. I mean, until they run, take off their pads, go to the bathroom, wipe.
Comes back to diarrhea with you, Jamie.
I think if they were a player who usually plays 90% of the snaps, then I don't think diarrhea could get them down to 50. If they're a 60% of the snap guy, then yeah, one stomach ache could really... No. Look.
When you're sliding into first.
I forgot your comparison. I'm sorry.
DK Metcalf and AJ Brown, they're the same player. They have been very similar.
I think if... Again, if Julio goes to the Titans, I would not make the trade because I think they would be too close. Targets wouldn't be the same. And you could probably use 2.08 to now get Elijah Mitchell.
All right, this is from Jake in Kansas City. Dear Travis, Javid, Lonzo, and LeVar.
Those are two bests and two balls.
Oh, I did
best ball.
Yes, I did my first best ball draft ever. Are there any clear mistakes you can see in my results? I picked 10 out of 10. By the way, did you see Anthony Davis kick? Who was it? Is it Jay Crowder?
In the ding ding?
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, not cool.
Not cool. All right, how did I do in my first best ball draft? I had the 10th pick out of 10 teams. Quarterback, Roethlisberger, Carr, and Lance.
It's a hell of a start.
When you're sliding into second and you're feeling this.
Running back, Eckler, Swift, Carson, Hunt, Mostert, Pollard, Jamal Williams.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
Wide receiver, Tyreek Hill, Galladay, Chark, Cooks, Fuller, Judy.
Love it.
Love it?
Yeah.
Dave? I don't love that.
I
It's a 10-team league.
I don't love it either. I think he went a little too aggressively on running backs. I don't know what
we have. Hockenson.
He
has Hockenson and Hooper at tight end.
Yeah. No, I don't love it. I think this team might swing on whether or not Trey Lance breaks out as a rookie.
Yeah, the quarterbacks are rough.
Yeah, wide receiver, I think if Cooks gets Watson, then you're talking, that's really good. But 10-team league, I feel like Galladay should not be your number two.
No, but that's the thing. Like in a best ball, you can't think of it as, all right, that guy's my number two.
But you're hoping for him to be his best. That's the thing.
How many times is he going to have a big game?
Like Tyreek Hill, you figure will be good at least 50% of the time, if not closer to like 70% of the time. That would be outstanding for him. The rest of his receivers, Galladay, Chark, Cooks, Fuller, Judy, between those five, there should be two decent ones every week. One of them should be really good every week.
But
that's
these are the
what
type
he's
of receivers,
for.
Though, when they hit, they're going to hit big.
Right, exactly. That's the point. Well, exactly. I mean, except for in Judy's case, because he just doesn't. Really
okay, wait, but do you feel that way about them? Then when they hit, they're going to hit big. So
yes.
Galladay,
yes.
You feel that way?
Galladay, Chark, Cooks, and Fuller, yes.
Okay, well, okay.
And then whatever you get with
Cooks,
Judy is great.
Cooks has to depend on the quarterback. It goes without saying. Mm-hmm. Okay, next question is from Jake from the best C city in Ohio. That's the letter C.
Canton.
Dear Happy, Sleepy, Grumpy, and Doc. Those are Adam Sandler dwarfs. The league is 10-team PPR. Two flex. I currently don't have a first-round pick, but I like the talent at the top of this class. I have Barkley and Dalvin Cook with Montgomery, Connor, Ronald Jones, and Zach Moss on my bench. Is it time to try and get maximum return on Dalvin Cook, or should I keep him for a championship run this year?
I think that the best thing to do is try and get maximum value, speaking of Vicky Valancourt, value on Saquon Barkley.
Oh, on Barkley.
Well, I mean, you want to trade Barkley before he breaks down again while his value is still high again, if he breaks down again.
You could take offers on both and then just take the very best offer that you get. The very best offer, I would hope, would include a pick that you can use to get Najee Harris.
So who would you take in a startup dynasty league, Barkley or Cook?
Cook.
I think I'd take Cook, too. I don't think there's that big of a difference in their age. It might only be 2 years between the two of them.
That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, ideally, you keep both.
Right. Like the alternative, look, if you can't get a great offer for one of them, you keep both and you try and make a run this year.
I wonder with Cook, do you really consider Saquon Barkley more of a physically breaking down candidate than Dalvin Cook?
It's just what's happened the last 2 years.
They've basically been similar because they both have suffered ACL tears mm-hmm. within their first 2 years of their careers. They both have suffered another significant injury. For Cook, it was the hamstring that plagued him almost the entire season. For Barkley, it was the ankle that, you know, essentially hurt him for six games, but three he missed. So, you know, hopefully year three is kind of what happened to Dalvin Cook as well. Ideally, I'd keep them both.
It was year three for Barkley with the ACL, right? Year two was the ankle.
I'm sorry, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And I was wrong about Julio Jones. Julio Jones, 2012 was his second year.
You just need some better H2O than that crappy stuff that you've been drinking over the last few days. If you like and Mama said it's okay, I'll fly up there and give you some delicious H2O.
Look at my freaking water from yesterday. Look at this. Yeah, it's my water.
That looks like a cell phone.
It's my water in the bathtub.
That's disgusting.
Your water's brown?
It was yesterday, yeah.
This show's turning into fantasy diarrhea.
It's not
today.
A fun day. I had to wash my hands with bottled water, and it sucked. But eventually, it came back. Thankfully,
it sounds like you should probably upgrade your 8-8-8-2-0.
Yeah, I need the water boy. All right, Adam from Vancouver. I recently acquired Joe Burrow for a 2023 first and second. Obviously, ooh. I have no problem having both Wilson and Burrow on my team, especially with Burrow coming off surgery. That said, should I explore a Wilson trade, and what should I ask for in return? I'm weak at tight end and maybe running back depth, and I have no rookie or free agent first round picks for the next 3 years.
You're the Rams.
Yeah, so would you trade? I think you should trade Wilson. You need some capital.
Yeah, but I don't know what you're getting. You think you're going to get a 2023 first round pick for Russell Wilson in this quarterback economy?
2023, you might be able to, but you know, you're talking to a team that's obviously ready to win now that doesn't have a quarterback. And how many of those teams are there out there?
Yeah, the only time you can do that is when there's a star quarterback that gets hurt and you can say, all right, I've got a quarterback to replace the guy that just got hurt for you. Here's the cost.
Can you get Elijah Mitchell for Wilson?
Probably. Yes.
Or Gallman?
You can probably pull it off.
You can probably get both Mitchell and Gallman.
It's a lot to give up for Joe Burrow. All right, from Nick. I run a very competitive 12-team fantasy league. We're going to move from full PPR to half PPR. How do I use the trade evaluator for evaluating a trade when the only thing that you guys have listed is non-PPR and full PPR?
I usually recommend people average the two numbers between non-PPR and PPR. Sometimes it's the same number, especially for players that don't get a lot of catches. Otherwise, you can just veer toward PPR and it should be okay. You'll still get the same idea of what a trade's fair, what kind of trade is fair.
This one is from a fun guy. Dear Sam, Sylvester, Claude, and Elmer. Looney Tunes? Who's Claude?
Space Jam 2, baby.
Oh, who's Claude?
I don't know.
Claude Bunny.
I'm in a perennial 16-team, half PPR, salary cap league. Used to be.
Hey, bonjour, Doc. Je suis Claude.
With one franchise player and one transition player. We have three flex, yada, yada, yada. I'm going to transition Joe Mixon, but I'm torn between stacking running backs and their backups like Zeke and Pollard, Gordon and Williams, Gaskin and Ahmed, or spending heavy on A.J. Brown, Alvin Kamara, et cetera, and supplementing with Hockenson, Fan, or Troutman. What would you guys do? Would you lock up a backfield or would you spend big on A.J. Brown, Kamara?
I'd spend big.
Yeah. So his choices are Kamara or Zeke and Pollard?
I honestly have no idea. It's a little vague.
Why don't you just write us back with a little bit better explanation?
Yeah, fun guy. Write us back.
That wasn't very fun.
This is from Winston. PPR 10-team redraft snake keeper league. Hey, by the way, we did a dynasty startup draft last week. It was my worst moment. I was so embarrassed by my draft room etiquette. Why didn't Heath just make it a snake draft? Like, what is the difference? It's a freaking mock draft. All you need to know is when the players are going. Just make it a snake draft. What was up with that, Heath?
That is true. We didn't really need to know who was picking.
Yeah, just make it. It would have been so much easier.
But aren't rookie-only drafts typically non-snake drafts?
Yes, but for the exercise of just doing the draft, does it matter? You're basically just taking best player available.
Yeah. Like,
in a three-round draft, like how much are you factoring? Well, I took Jamar Chase first round. I'm not going to take
my imaginary gamer. Mock team, I already had Alvin Kamara.
I got confused by it being non-snake, and I was like, it's not my pick. And Heath's like, it's your pick. I'm like, it's not my pick. He's like, yes, it is. It's not my pick.
Well, the reason you got confused was because of the way we did it, that we were using the draft room and to get the players out of the queue.
It was truly my dumbest moment in fantasy football history.
Eh, no, touchdown there.
I dropped Tyreek Hill in the podcast league in week one, I think, right? And I gave him back to myself because it was an accident. Yeah, that sounds right. Okay.
Yeah, touchdown there is probably your worst moment.
Or best moment. PPR 10-team redraft keeper league. I have to keep the players where they were drafted.
Were you idiot moron when Heath and I pranked you?
I can't decide who to keep. I can keep up to three. Pick two. Oh, okay. Second round pick, Nick Chubb. Third round, Kelsey. Fourth round, Justin Jefferson. Fifth round, Jonathan Taylor. Pick three of those four.
The last two.
Okay, pick three of them.
And Kelsey.
You're throwing back Chubb?
Yeah.
I think so, right? Chubb is arguably the last one to go in this group, and he's the highest value.
But at the same time, it is a PPR 10-team league. Kelsey's got to be one of those picks.
Yeah, throwback Chubb.
Taylor's got to be one of those picks.
Dave, just say throwback Chubb, and we can move on.
I don't know if I'm ready to say that.
You're going to throw back Justin Jefferson two rounds after Nick Chubb in a PPR league?
That's
potentially 90 more catches.
Yeah, but Nick Chubb also is like one of the best running backs in football who could see an uptick in catches this year.
They go in the same round. Well, and maybe not in a 10-team league. All right, Dave, you're on the spot. Chubb in round two.
They go 10 picks apart, essentially.
Chubb in round two or Jefferson in round three? Around four.
I will keep Jefferson.
Good for you.
Along with Kelsey and Taylor. And hope to get somebody close to the ballpark of Chubb with my first pick.
Nobody that you're giving back, you're getting back to the same ballpark. They're all great players.
Well, where does he pick in the redraft?
Don't know, don't care. This is from Maverick. Where's Maverick from? Dallas?
Gooseland.
Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Top gun terrible. Why is everyone so high? Dude, it's so bad. I promise you.
Oh my God.
No, I've already had this. I've already done this. I'm sure it's already in the thread. But actually, no, it's not in the thread of as Adam's bad takes because Heath agrees. If you didn't see Top Gun when you were a kid and you watched it now, it's dreadful.
No way.
Why is everyone so okay? Show it to your kids.
So I will.
To your oldest. See what he said. Well, he might like it. He's too young to know. Why is everyone so high on Joe Montana? Just because
like the volleyball scene.
Anyone but maybe beach volleyball players? Why is everyone so high?
He's like 4'11".
Have I ever had a take this bad, by the way? Why is everyone so high on Joe Montana? Just because he has Super Bowl rings? If you take those away and look at him as a passer, he's not great. He has a higher interception ratio than Brett Favre, interception for pass attempt. So I guess it'd be
this is from our Mount Rushmore conversation last week?
Yeah, yeah. People knock Favre for throwing too many interceptions. Dan Marino's a great passer, but didn't win a Super Bowl. Clearly, that's his fault since he plays on defense and special teams. So clearly, he's a bad quarterback because the team didn't win a Super Bowl.
Who wrote this, Brisco?
Maverick is one of the snarkiest, kind of meanest emailers we have. The Montana Niners were an all-star team with multiple Hall of Famers. That means the team was one of the Mount Rushmore teams. Doesn't mean Montana is a Mount Rushmore quarterback.
I think as time has gone on, I agree with Maverick on this.
Hey, I didn't say Maverick was dumb. He's just kind of mean about it. That's all.
Sure. Like 20 years ago, I think I would have told you that Joe Montana was one of the best quarterbacks that ever played the game. But Brady, Peyton, Andy Dalton. Okay, maybe not Andy Dalton.
Yeah, so we were trying to do a Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks, and Brady and Montana were our two layups, but maybe.
How is Peyton Manning not on that?
Montana was yours.
Brady and Peyton are absolute locks on the mountain.
I actually buy the narrative that Peyton Manning came up small in big games. I think there's a lot of truth to it. I think he was a bit of a choker. Still on the Mount Rushmore, but Montana certainly.
No Eli, obviously.
Yeah.
Marino belongs on the list. So,
well, there you can only put four on there. So
right. So I'm up to three.
And Montana's not one of them?
Yeah, I don't know if he's ahead of Favre.
I love Marino, but he's not on the list.
Aaron Rodgers is ahead of Favre.
So you've got Montana on your list, but not Marino, Shane?
Yeah, I have Breeze also.
Wow. Oh, yeah, Breeze should probably be on there.
Come on, Aaron Rodgers is better than Breeze and Favre.
Rodgers is awesome, too.
By the way, I sent the email to Pete Prisco. I forwarded it to him, and I said, what are your thoughts on this? What are the odds he responds?
He's going to say...
He'll respond with one sentence.
Yeah. He's going to say his Mount Rushmore. I think we've had this conversation. His Mount Rushmore is Brady, Peyton.
Marino's going to be on his Mount Rushmore.
Marino and Sammy Ball. Because he's old.
Johnny Unitas. Sid Luckman.
What about Russell
Moses.
Wilson?
Moses. He was a big fan of Moses.
Does he come around on
Tebow.
Russell Wilson?
He loves Tebow.
Oh, Tebow. Okay.
Russell Wilson will be a little.
We had a conversation the day that Tebow signed. Pete is not the most active person on Twitter. He tweeted 50 times in like 2 hours. This man, when Tebow signed.
Well, I'm sure he wasn't thrilled about it.
I think one of his tweets said, "I'm a good locker room guy. Should I get the contract?"
He is a pretty good locker room guy.
He is.
You love being around Pete Prisco. You know, green room before you go on the air is nothing but fun with Pete. Okay, everybody, thanks so much for your emails and for your Apple Podcast questions. This was great. We have bold predictions for you. We'll be back on Tuesday. If you're dying for some fantasy football content, check out Fantasy Football Today in 5. We have some fresh episodes there. Jamie and Dave, thanks for hanging out and doing this mailbag. And again, enjoy your holiday weekend. We'll talk to you Tuesday.
That's all, folks.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.